This is Stories from Lincoln Public Schools, Episode 11 for Wednesday, March 27th, 2019. Hello from Lincoln Public Schools. I'm Mindy Burback.
And I'm Brian Fitzgerald. Welcome to Stories from Lincoln Public Schools, our podcast that gives you an inside look at the people, activities, and programs that make Lincoln Public Schools the wonderful place that it is. In today's episode, our very own Caitlin Lucan sat down with Nebraska Department of Education's 2019 Teacher of the Year.
She did. But first, let's take a look at the headlines on the LPS website. There's a really cute story that we posted this morning, and it's already received a lot of clicks. It's about two teachers who loved their school so much that they decided to name their firstborn son after the school. So you should definitely check that story out.
It said received a lot of clicks. I thought it said received a lot of chicks. I thought it was about a farm house or something.
Also, last week we had our learning lunch. It was a really neat one where Northeast High School celebrated 25 years of building houses. Instructor Bob Fries has been working with students and student groups building houses for the Lincoln Housing Authority, and this is their 25th year in doing that. So he brought his students, he shared the program and what it's all about with us during the learning lunch.
It was a fantastic program, and if you have 30-40 minutes to watch that, full of great information, a real legacy that he's leaving behind with those students, the work that they've done. It talks about how fun it is to be able to drive through town and see all the houses that they've done. Just a fantastic program.
And for students to take pride in seeing their work every time they're going to school, they drive by and they see that.
So I don't have anything in town to look at that's anything like that.
That's something you built.
Right.
Also on our website, we had some state competitions. Lincoln Public School students, they went to state debate and East High School finished second. So we had them compete last weekend in Omaha. There were numerous students finishing in the top of their individual events. So you can go to the website to see all of those results. And also state speech happened at the University of Nebraska at Kearney. We had lots of schools and students participating in state speech. So on our website is all the students who placed in the top six of their events. Brian, were you in speech?
I was in speech. I always did the informational. So had some topic that I'd have to, usually with a piece of board on an easel of some sort. Did you?
I did. I did entertainment speaking. I can't understand why I would want to go into that. But yes, but I never made it to state. That's one regret I have from high school.
I went to state, but only as a person watching others speaking.
Oh. Brian, what else is going on this week?
You know, we have a lot of things going on this week in athletics, but not a whole lot of Lincoln schools playing Lincoln schools, which is one of the things that we try to focus on here. Tonight, 4 p.m., we have girls tennis. North Star is playing Southeast over at Woods Park. And at 5 in boys soccer, Lincoln High is playing Southeast at Seacrest. Tomorrow, Thursday at noon, is a track invitational over at Lincoln High, and there's going to be a ton of schools there. So if you like track and field, get yourself over there to Lincoln High. Then we jump all the way to Monday, April 1st, girls tennis, Northeast versus North Star over at Woods again at 4 p.m. And at 5 is baseball, East High versus Southeast. Down at Densmore, number 1, that's down by the Cooper YMCA. Tuesday the 2nd, we have baseball at 5, Southwest versus North Star at Sherman, and girls soccer, Northeast, North Star at Beechner at 6 o'clock. And then Wednesday, all the way a week from now, we have girls tennis at 4 p.m., Northeast versus Lincoln High at Woods. And at 6 p.m., girls soccer, East High versus Southwest at Seacrest. A quiet week for the arts, but don't be sad. Next week, we're going to see the launch of both Get Smart at East High and My Fair Lady at Southwest, among some other instrumental items. So we'll have some things for the stage coming up next week.
And the neat thing about My Fair Lady is we are the first high school in the nation to try out this first on-stage production. I think it's the Disney My Fair Lady. It's the first school in the nation to try this production. Yes, it's going to be really cool.
Gotta get over there.
Well, let's get back to today's main focus. Earlier this school year, a group of us got to accompany members from the Nebraska Department of Education as they surprised Lincoln High School English teacher Sydney Jensen with the distinct honor of being named the 2019 Teacher of the Year. Caitlin Lucan, who is a member of our communications team, actually knows Sydney from their days when they worked together at the YMCA Camp Kotaki together, and she sat down with Sydney to learn more about the honor bestowed upon her.
I'm Sydney Jensen. I teach ninth grade English, and I'm an instructional coach at Lincoln High, and I'm the 2019 Nebraska Teacher of the Year.
Wow, that is so, is it exciting to say that out loud still?
It's weird still. One of the first things that you do as State Teacher of the Year is when you all come together, all 50 plus of you, because even territories are represented, you actually stand in a circle and you pass around a microphone and you have to practice saying, my name is, and I am, and... It's really awkward at first,
yeah.
But you had to say it so many times in that practice that by the end of it, it starts to feel a little less weird.
Yeah.
But it feels a little bit like being some strange pageant queen.
Of teaching.
Yes. And that's not something I expected, but
yeah,
we're all practicing owning it. And so that's another thing, is that they really emphasized that even after 2019, you are, not you were. So you are the 2019 Teacher of the Year.
That's such a sweet little semantic
Isn't
difference.
Isn't it nice? Yeah.
So do you want to talk me through kind of how this came about? Like, how did you find out? What was your reaction?
Sure. So it's actually been about a year now that this process started.
Mm-hmm.
It started with an email telling me I'd been nominated for State Teacher of the Year by a colleague here in the building, Amber Vlasnik. She was the 2017 Teacher of the Year. And she really, like, had to shove me to get me to complete all the steps, because it is pretty involved. But when I submitted everything, I felt like it was a really positive experience in terms of the level of reflection on my teaching and a chance to really take time to write out why I believe what I believe about the way that students learn and what our jobs are as professionals. I thought was really valuable. And then you just wait for months and months, and found out that I was a finalist, went in for a finalist interview, which was really intimidating and scary.
Yeah.
And 2 weeks later, they burst into my classroom while I was teaching my loud and rowdy eighth period. And yeah, it's been kind of a whirlwind ever since. So I consider myself kind of a secret introvert. I think people think that I'm really outgoing, but I'm not. And so learning to be confident and open right away has been something that's been like a personal challenge, but it's been a good growing opportunity too.
What was your kind of immediate reaction on the day of when they did, like you said, burst into your classroom?
I don't remember what happened. I think I blacked out. I know that there's a video on Facebook, but I can't watch it. Even like the news reels that ran that evening, my husband recorded them, and I was, no.
I had to
leave the room. I can't watch this. I can't listen to my own voice. The thing that I think sticks out in my brain that was the most exciting thing was just the way that my kids reacted.
Yeah.
They were really excited. At that point, it's only October. We've only been together a couple of months.
Mm-hmm.
And so for them to have that level of excitement about it, I think was really nice. It made me a little emotional. And then walking down the hall for these like news interviews, and my kids from last year, we walked past their eighth period English class, and they stuck their head out and were so excited and ran down the hall. And I think that's maybe my favorite picture of
wonderful.
My whole life, is that yeah. they crowded around and just were so excited. And I don't know, it's one thing when colleagues think really highly of you, and that's really great and flattering and awesome, but when the kids see it, and those are the people that I care about the most, that was really great.
So I'm curious, you said in a thing that was really valuable about your application process is it did kind of force you to like sit down and really like formalize your teaching beliefs and philosophies.
Mm-hmm.
Can you kind of share like what like revelations you had, or like what would be your like emotional thesis statement
okay.
for teaching?
So if you're a teacher, you've definitely heard of Maslow's hierarchy of needs.
Mm-hmm.
And Bloom's taxonomy, which is, you know, what level of questioning kind of things are we asking? Are we asking kids just surface level or depth of knowledge type things? Maslow's is that all of their safety and social needs need to be met before they can achieve that actuality, self-actualization, which is that learning piece. And so I really strongly believe in Maslow's over Bloom's, that kids need to be in a space where they feel safe and loved and cared for and believed in before they can reach that point where they're actually able to learn within your classroom. And so I really strongly believe in building relationships with students. I call it showing up for kids. That's something that's really important to me. I cried getting my oil changed once because it was taking so long and I'd promised I would be at a baseball game. Oh. And I was like, you don't understand. which is dramatic, but it really matters to me that when I tell kids that I'm going to be there for their events outside of my classroom, that I show up, because I think when those relationships are really strong and sturdy, kids want to show up for you in the classroom and give their best. That's the basic thing. The other thing is, I think that, you know, we don't have a workforce need for people who can go to work every day and follow directions and perform rudimentary tasks. We need a workforce of people who are critical thinkers and capable of collaboration and problem solving. And so a lot of that is social. And so teaching kids to engage in academic conversations, giving them that vocabulary and practice, because that does take confidence to be able to sit down and have a conversation with someone about what you believe and why you believe it, and also be able to dissent and say, you know what, I don't agree with you, and here's why, and do that in a way that is respectful and continues to build those relationships professionally once they're in that position. So in my classroom, there's a lot of talking because I want them to process their learning and be able to talk about it. So I give them sentence starters to have those conversations, and we practice a lot of gratitude, which at first they make fun of when I say, tell your partner, thank you for sharing. You're so insightful. And at first it's got a little element of snark to it, and I'm fine with that. But eventually it really does become sincere. Hey, thank you for helping me with that. That makes a lot of sense. I think that that's one of my strengths as a teacher, is just building that classroom community. I can't spell at all, but...
You said that you, after being nominated, went to kind of like a meetup for all 50 teachers of the year. Mm-hmm. Can you Can you tell me a little bit about that?
So everyone going into it here in Nebraska who is a state teacher of the year or in any way involved in the program kept telling me beforehand, you're going to get there and you're going to feel like you found your people. Mm-hmm. And I'm a skeptic a little, and so it was like, eye roll, yeah, sure, okay.
Yeah.
And then you get there and you really do feel like you found your people. They relate it to that song in the 90s by Blind Melon, No Rain.
Oh.
Where in the music video, the girl's dressed up as a bee, and at the end, she, like, finds her bees. And it was like finding your bees when you get there. It's also just really cool to connect with all of these amazing educators across the country.
Mm-hmm.
I just was in awe of the work that they're doing. And so many of us really had that attitude of, how did I get here? Why me?
Right. This is some sort of dream.
Right? Like, they're going to find me out. I am not that great. Like, I'm just doing the best that I can with what I have every day. But I think that's where we all are.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a really cool experience. It was also nice. The element of professional development in a room full of people who really want to be there and sort of get on the bus and be involved in it was incredible. And so the depth that we were able to get into in terms of the emotional side of teaching, I thought was just like really profound. And coming back, it was like the professional version of a vacation hangover. Like, you're just sad and miss them. But it's really nice, though, with social media. We have a Facebook group. We have this app, Marco Polo, where we send videos to each other.
Oh, sure.
So I feel like I've seen all of their schools and their classrooms. I'm excited to get to reconnect with them several times throughout the year as well.
Are there, like, ongoing events, or are you guys kind of taking the mantle upon yourselves? It's like, no, we're going to keep hanging out.
There are some ongoing events.
Sure.
So at the end of April, we'll meet together in Washington, D.C. We'll get to meet with the Secretary of Education. We'll go to the White House and visit with some important people around there. And then in the summer, we'll get together for a conference in Denver on educational policy. Mm-hmm. Then we get to go to space camp together.
You get to go to space camp.
I'm going
to
be an astronaut for Halloween for the rest of my life. So I'm very excited about that.
You can
that.
Do what Amber Flasnick does and just, you got to rock the jumpsuit
just
everywhere all the time.
Everywhere. Yeah. Yes. That's my new teaching uniform. So
I think, honestly, I think the kids would love it.
But yeah. No, I'm so excited for that. And then we'll have a Next Steps conference in Princeton, New Jersey. And that'll be our last official sponsored gathering. Mm-hmm. But the great thing is that once you're a part of the network of National Teachers of the Year, then you get involved in it forever. And so they have...
Yeah, you are, not you were.
Yeah, you are. And so getting to go to the annual conference every year, I think, will be a good thing, too. And so we'll be able to reconnect in that way.
What was your single, like, either favorite or most valuable takeaway from that conference that you wish you could, like, share with everyone?
So it's one that I've definitely stolen, and when I go on speaking events, especially with future teachers, mm-hmm. I really like talking to teachers in training. Sarah Brown Wessling, who is a National Teacher of the Year, I think she was 2010, is incredible. And something that she led was she showed us different Amazon reviews and comparing a 5-star review to a 1-star review, and how it's like, for a 5-star review, it's as if this rice cooker absolutely changed your life.
Yeah.
And for a 1-star review, it's as if they absolutely destroyed your life with this rice cooker.
Right.
And she had us write out our own 1-star and 5-star reviews of ourselves as teachers.
Oh, wow.
And we could write it from the perspective of a student, a parent, mm-hmm. a colleague, an administrator, a member of the community. And so we took some time to write those out, and then we had to partner and share them aloud. It got pretty painful, because what was the common factor is that most of us, our 1-star review were things that have actually been said to us. I think it's safe to say that everybody in that room really cares about doing a good job.
Yeah.
You have to think about those 3-star reviews. Those are the people that you can truly serve and make adjustments to your teaching and your professional lifestyle sort of thing to reach those people and make them feel like you are a 5-star teacher for them.
Yeah.
But often 1-star reviews, you just disagree so heavily philosophically, they're never going to be your 5-star person. Mm-hmm. But someone else will be for them, and that's okay.
Yeah.
And so kind of letting go of that a little bit, I thought was really powerful. Because sometimes it's hard as a teacher when you feel like every single day you mess something up.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we hope that we're able to fix those messes pretty quickly and make it right. But sometimes you can't.
Mm-hmm.
And you do the best you can with what you have, and that's got to be okay.
I'm going to switch gears a little bit.
Okay.
Do you want to kind of give us the information? I noticed you have a little bit of an accent. How did you wind up at LPS?
My kids joke, how can you teach English when you can't even speak it?
Oh, man!
Which is a really good one. It's very funny.
We need a burn unit in here.
So I grew up in Eatonton, Georgia, and I went to the University of Georgia for my undergrad in English education. I was presented with the opportunity in college to either move home with my parents for the summer, enroll in summer classes, or travel to Nebraska to work at a summer camp. And I chose option C.
Yep.
And so I ended up working at YMCA Camp Kittaki about halfway between Lincoln and Omaha. As a camp counselor.
Yeah, a lot of our students and a lot of our staffs are alumna of Camp Kittaki.
Yes, and that is where I met my husband, the very first day on staff.
Yeah.
And so we got married in 2014, mm-hmm. and now we live here, and I teach at Lincoln High, and he is a full-time program director for camp. We're so happy living here, and I feel like I've really found my home away from home at Lincoln High, and I consider my colleagues and my students as part of my family.
Is there anything like specific in your mind that either sets Lincoln High or Lincoln Public Schools apart from other places you might be teaching?
I think the thing that sets Lincoln High apart is that we have so much diversity culturally, linguistically, in terms of socioeconomic status, education level. And so it turns into this really rich environment where I feel like I get to learn from the backgrounds of my students. I really connect with that element of diversity coming from a more diverse area myself. And I think that it's just a really fun place to work because we have so many different people. I think the thing that we like to say, and I truly believe it, is that everybody can find their place at Lincoln High. Mm-hmm. It's not a one-size-fits-all. It's not that we have, like, you know, one or two little groups. It's that if you're interested in theater, we've got theater. If you're interested in politics, we have tons of political clubs. Whatever you're into, we have a space for you. And I think, you know, we teach the best kids in the world in this building, and I'm biased, but
yeah,
I can't imagine at this point being anywhere else.
That was a very nice interview. Caitlin Lucan interviewing Sydney Jensen, 2019 Teacher of the Year down at Lincoln High. It was fun to hear about the process that went into it. Sometimes these awards come out, and like she said, it's in October, and you're like, well, how do we know who the Teacher of the Year is already in October? But it was a long process going into it.
It was a very long process. And I think having two Teachers of the Year within 2 years from the same building, Amber, I know, and Sydney teach together, and Sydney idolizes Amber, but I think Amber saw the talent that was there, and obviously so did the Department of Education. They were really impressed with her. So.
And you see that happen sometimes where you have somebody that's gone through the process that's able to, you know, mentor in a way somebody else that they work with to say, hey, you know, I went through this and I think you'd be a good candidate for this also. I liked how she was talking about, you know, different teaching styles that they follow. And she was emphasizing how she thinks it's so important to make children feel safe and secure before you're really able to fully connect with them and effectively educate them. And then she went on kind of expounding on that, saying that when you create that environment and students can effectively learn, they can also learn to respectively disagree with each other and then make their own points and go on from there. And we could learn so much from that today.
Definitely an important lesson. I think they see that every day in Lincoln High. It is, like she said, a very diverse school, and they see that every single day within those halls. So, well, that's all the time we have for today. Thank you for joining us for Stories from Lincoln Public Schools.